Blog Talk Radio.
Rodney Stanhope, who is running for Vice Chair of the California Republican Party. He will be with us shortly. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. CRP Convention News. This is Diane Lenning, your host. We will have a guest with us in a few moments, Rodney Stanhope, who is running for Vice Chair of the California Republican Party. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
On the basis of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment,
welcome to CRP News Convention. This is Diane Lenning, your host. We're going to be bringing in Rodney Stanhope to speak with us tonight. He is running for Vice Chair of the Republican Party. And Rodney is an activism kind of guy, hardworking, tech savvy, who works with the people and grassroots organizing, and he's the kind of guy I think perhaps we need. We've seen in our president, even though he's a Democrat, that activism seemed to be what wins, isn't it? Didn't really matter whether he's a certain profession or not, and I think we're going to find out tonight some interesting things about our guest, Rodney. I think you will find relevant to your vote this weekend. So I'm not sure which of the caller here is Rodney, so I'm going to take a stab at the 619 number, but I'm not sure. We'll try it. Hi,
nope.
This is Diane. Nope, this isn't Rodney.
No, sorry.
Do you have a quick question since I've got you? I'll give you a minute till I get to him.
Thank you. No, I'm here to listen tonight. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Well, if you don't mind, then I'll go to the next person.
Okay.
I don't know which number he has. Thank you for joining us. Okay, we're going to see if this number is Rodney's. 530, is this Rodney? Hello there.
This would be Rodney.
Hello. Good. All right. I had quite a few callers here, so it's going to be a hot show tonight, I think. We're so glad you took time out of your busy campaign to join us tonight, and I'm thinking we might keep that housekeeping item we talked about to the end later on. Is that okay with you? And let's just go right into talking about what you're going to do as Vice Chair of the CRP Party. Go ahead, Rodney.
Oh, that's simple. We're actually going to restore the faith in the party, and we're going to rebuild it. We're going to renew it and refresh it. We're at less than 30% voter registration in the state of California. We have got a electorate out there that has absolutely zero faith in our party. They won't go vote. They will not help us. They will not donate to campaigns. And that is 100% entirely our fault. because of how we've walked away from them. Nobody left the Republican Party. The Republican Party left them. We've got to get back to our roots, where we came from, where we started, and that the ground game-based organization where volunteers matter.
Well, you know, you hit on an interesting point there. The Republican Party has lost a large number of their Republican base, and we're going to have to really work hard to get those people back. Plus, it's going to be important for us that we pursue the minorities, the blacks, the Hispanics, and the Asians to join our party, you know, because after all, their values really are closer to what Republicans believe in. What do you say about that, Rodney?
Oh, I think that actually that's a very good point because, you know, we keep talking about reaching out to minorities and we keep talking about reaching out to the various ethnic communities, but we only talk about it 5 months before the next election. And then the day after the next election, we disappear again. There's a very
valid reason why do you think that is, and what can we do about it?
Well, because we used to be a volunteer organization with an army of volunteers that worked because they want to be victorious and to instill and pass on conservative Christian values to America. We've become a consultant-based, top-down organization that is based entirely on who's getting paid. And when there's not an election cycle going on, nobody's getting paid. And so we don't have offices open. We don't have networks going on. We don't have computer programs up and running, selling bank centers. And we basically, you know, prime example here in Sacramento, in El Dorado, I live in El Dorado County, but in Sacramento, we had the Sac State College Republicans. They were a amazingly hardworking group that were working to fund bank centers for Victory 12 and the day after the election. Thank you. We're done. See you guys later. And you have like one of the most excited, active, hardworking volunteer groups. The youth of our future, the people we are going to have to pass the torch to when we are finished doing our work, and it's basically, election's over, talk to you later. And the Democrats are still out there working. They've never shut down. They've never stopped.
Well, I will follow up on that youth aspect in a minute, but on the original point we were talking about, I would like to mention that I think you are correct. We have become a top-down organization funded by wealthy donors and wealthy candidates. And I would not really call that a party of the people. Now, maybe that's not the intention, but that seems to be the effect of us depending on wealthy donors rather than doing grassroots activism and bringing in small donations from all our candidates and growing our party among the youth. How can we connect more with the youth?
Well, it's funny. You mentioned about the high-paid consultants and the really high fundraising candidates, and it's all become about the money. I used an interesting analogy today. Think of it like NASCAR. I'm going to give you $1 million, but I'm going to give you a really good-looking car with no engine and no tires. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to win races. And eventually, that pretty car that just sits there and not wins races, your sponsors are going to start to pull their sponsorship and quit giving you money. Money, donors, they follow action. Right now, they follow victory. Everybody wants to be part of the winning team, and we are not the winning team. And so you want to reach out to the youth, you've got to make it exciting. You've got to make it fun. I remember when 1994 into early 2000, I was getting into politics. Conventions were exciting. I would go to conventions. It didn't cost a fortune. I was taught how to win campaigns, and it was so exciting I couldn't wait to get home. And I was, you know, American River College, and I was so excited I wanted to go home and work on a campaign. I didn't care what campaign it was. Nowadays, it's, hey, Diane, how was that party Saturday? Did you get a picture with a famous person? You didn't learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving home going, I got to drive home. I got to fly home. There's nothing exciting about it. How am I supposed to get college kids involved in politics and go, no, we're actually cool. We're not just a bunch of old people. We're not boring, but we're going to act that way.
Well, I have a friend, a lady friend who lives in L.A., and she has posted a lot on Facebook and around, and I've heard her say that she wants the Republicans' leaders to come to their community activities and to their churches and wherever they are and participate with them. And will you be involved around the state with people of all races and ethnic groups? And how will you do that? And what can we do together to bring them in more specifically? What can we as Republican activists working with you do?
Well, see, that brings up an interesting point, because the last election cycle especially, but my whole time in politics, I travel all over the state anyway. You know, people have seen my Facebook page with me checking in up and down the state constantly, working with all the Tea Party groups, the various organizations. But you made an interesting point. What can you guys do to get us to work with you? See, when I got into politics, if I wanted to run for office or if I was leadership in the Republican Party, I would come to you and go, what can I do for you to show you that I care? Or what can I do to help you? What can I do to earn your support? We've become a party where you, the local groups, local organizations, and local clubs are saying, what do we do to get you to help us? That is completely backwards. In my opinion, the state party has but one single job: infrastructure and support. Your local club, your local group, your local central committee, that is the face and the front of the Republican Party, and it is you that is building the party at a local level. And it should be, Diane, you have a candidate for school board, sewer board, water board, fire board, city council, and I answer, how may I help you? I'm your vice chairman of the party. What can I do to help you? You want me to come to your meeting, your event? You want new ideas? Great. Why is the Republican Party not out doing voter registration tables at your local flea market or bazaar or street fair or county fair? It is huge, and I will be there. You call me and say, we want you to come to our event. I will. I will come help you. You need ideas. You need help. You want support. That is what the state party is supposed to do: help you guys grow the party.
Well, you know, I can tell you, and many of you out there know, that I have run for office, and over the number of years, the Republican Party has never given me a nickel. I have had to self-fund every one of my campaigns, and they've been in various levels and different offices, and I have begged just for filing fees, for the idea of the party giving filing fees to our candidates in order to help us have somebody running in every office. And I know from personal experience that the Democrats reimburse many of their candidates for filing fees. I saw it firsthand in one of my races. I had the documentation to show that another candidate, Democrat, ran for a nonpartisan office, and the Democrat-funded union machine reimbursed her filing fee. And it was no small change, let me tell you. I think I think the Republican Party has it backwards. They are expecting the big wealthy people to come in and just pass the money throughout the state, and now here, all you do, work for me. But I think that's counterproductive, because all those local candidates and candidates like myself who were self-funding my campaign couldn't get any of the activists to help us, because they're too busy working for some paid person, wealthy person, running for a bigger, quote-unquote, office. And I think that's a serious dysfunction that makes us lose. Do you want to expound on that, or do you want to go to another subject?
Well, no, I have a very simple answer for that. The Republican Party as a state leadership ought to be there to support and help every single candidate running for any Republican office. I don't care what level it's at, and especially if it's a local level. But, you know, the generic answer is we just don't have the money to help everybody. Well, we don't have the money because we're not winning campaigns. And beyond that, That is one part where I will a caveat. You talk about the union support the Democrats. Well, unfortunately, that is one thing where the Republican Party has it right. The unions take your money out of your paycheck, and they use it however they deem necessary as a political machine. The Republican Party asks for your money. We don't take it from your check. So we will never have the union money. But in the meantime, supporting candidates, absolutely we have to do it, even whether it's monetary or otherwise. You know, what would have happened to local candidates in 2012 had Mitt Romney come out here one time to California or two times to California, or during the Meg Whitman campaign if she'd actually appear on stage with other candidates? But focusing at the local level, I've always said, when it comes to politics and the average voter who is not thoroughly, like you and I, engaged in politics, eat, live, and breathe it, and, you know, wake up in the morning and Fox News is already on the TV as coffee's brewing kind of thing. The bottom line is I'm trying to engage them, and I'm saying you got to go to the poll for Romney, or Whitman, whatever it be. Even if I get you the poll, you don't necessarily know politics. You didn't do any extra research, and you don't vote down the ticket because you don't know who the local races are. If I engage you at a local level, your sewer rates went up. I have a good sewer board candidate or a city council candidate, fire board, water board. Your kids are in Little League, and I've got a Parks and Rec or CSD candidate. I've now engaged you at a local level. Intuitively, you're going to want to know who else is on the ticket, and you will vote up the ticket.
Well, you know, another thing I've noticed when I've gone around the state and interchanged with Democrats is that the Democrats have dozens upon dozens of political action committees, and they're all these wonderful-sounding names. I won't say any of them, but, you know, it's better government or better this or better that. And we don't seem to have very many political action committees that support certain kinds of issues, like to deal with, say, the environment or education or better government or taxation. I mean, we have a taxation one, but there are many that areas like that we're lacking. Is there some way that you – go ahead.
We have it, but we don't have it right. The Democrats, what they do is if you go to our website right now, CAGOP.org, it's big red, white, and blue, big Republican elephant, big word Republican, and donate here, give us $1,000, help run the party, and find 1,000 friends, and we want you to do 1,000 things. And you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I don't have time. I don't know that many people. I don't have any money. And then even if you're involved and you're at such a committee, we break out into little groups or little committees. The Democrats, they do it smart. They want to have a committee to register voters. They create a whole new organization. There's not even the word Democrat, you know.
Yes,
that
one, correct.
Organizing for America, you know. But
yes.
Or they get Acorn and stuff like that. But what they've done, there's no Democrat name. There's no donkey. People don't realize the number one email from Mitt Romney was a $500 donation and give us your opinion. The number one email from Barack Obama was, hey, the word hey, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Diane, how are you? You are doing an amazing job saving America for your children, for your grandmother, for your family. And
relational.
And then they say, can we get $3 from you? And can you talk to three of your friends? And
yeah.
You're like going, wow, I'm important. I've got $3. You know what? I've got $5. Maybe I've got $10. And three friends? Heck, I've got five friends. They killed us. Social media, technology, and bring it down to a level that matters and makes sense to people. I can't afford $500, but maybe you tell me $3, I can afford $50. You know, and even then, I could probably, but if we could restore faith in the party, my first thing as vice chairman, we'd need money. First, restore the faith and start winning campaigns. Instead of asking for $100 per person, how about, Diane, will you commit to $12 per month for 12 months? That equals $144.
Uh-huh.
But the $12 is the number you'll get. Nobody's ever sold you a house and said, this $80,000 house is going to cost you $250,000. Do you want to buy it? They go, it's only $127 a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some of us have been discussing lately, if we were not a Republican and we went to the Republican websites, how welcoming would it look to us, and would we come back? And most of us concluded that most of the GOP websites are not very welcoming to a person, especially to people who have not been involved in politics or minorities. And they don't say, like you say, hello, how are you? We're so glad you visited here today. They don't have pictures of people, of the different people in the party and all the different ethnic groupings that are Republicans. And it should show that we're people, not some solid background with these squares to type in things and give money. And I think, being a tech-savvy guy, that you'd be great at redesigning websites.
Yeah, I used to do it for a living years ago, but back then it was amazing if I could make your button turn colors. Nowadays, it's a lot more high-tech, but we have people who know how to do that. Rick Montaigne in Southern California, Jeff Evans, there are people who know what they're doing. There are people who can do that for us, and it's very, very easy. And furthermore, you know, reaching out to the voters, making it easy. Our website right now is a little overdone. It's very hard to navigate, and you're right, it's I mean, the first thing that pops up in your face is, you know, give us money. We're broke. And I think...
Would you please take a moment and tell the listeners your website where they can connect with you and show their support for you and give any emails you want or contact information?
We've made mine very, very easy. The website is rodneystanhope.com, and my email is rodneystanhope@gmail.com. And from there, they can see my endorsement list. They can feel free to endorse me, my plan for California, how we're going to rebuild the party, my Facebook page, same thing, Stan Hope for CRP Vice Chair. Anything you want to know, anyone can call me. My phone number is there. My cell phone number is right on the front page of my website. Anyone's able to call me because I will answer.
Would you like to give it out now?
Sure. 530.
Okay.
Area code 530-748-7142. I have always been a volunteer for the Republican Party. I have always liked talking to people and helping them learn how to take this country back, and I will continue to do that even as vice chair. Anyone is always welcome to call me. So.
And please tell people how they can connect with you at the convention other than your cell phone.
Well, walk around the convention center and pretty much at this point I would say look for the guy who's moving 100 miles an hour and never stops. That'll be me, six foot two, wearing a suit most of the time and running around, putting up signs, talking to people, networking, or, you know, push come to shove. I can guarantee you 18 years in politics, if you're at the convention, ask almost anybody, where's Rodney? So I'll be able to point in the right direction.
There's usually a general lobby where I usually hang out and a lot of people hang out. So I would suggest the general lobby next to the meeting rooms may be a good place to look for you, you say?
Yeah, well, at the Hyatt, it's split. What you'll find is when you get to the Hyatt and you walk in the front doors where you park at, there's a hallway down and there's different vendors have tables there and different clubs have their booths there to promote their clubs. But then when you walk out those back doors and you cross the street, that's the General Assembly Hall and the meeting rooms. So I could be in either side.
Okay, now I am not a delegate this year, but I know that delegates like to know the answer to this question. Why should I vote for you over your opponent? Can you give me some reasons? Three good reasons, maybe.
18 years of political activism, boots on the ground. I've never been a high-paid consultant or elected to office or worked in the state capitol. I am simply you. I am a volunteer that has decided to draw a line in the sand. I want to give the party back to the people. I have a proven record on hundreds and hundreds of volunteer campaigns, helping Republicans win, and it's going to take somebody to work within the party that is going to understand the grassroots ground game and return this party to the people themselves. We the people. The Tea Party says it all the time. And
right.
I'm endorsed by Congressman Tom McClintock, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, Sam Parada, Gun Owners of California, one of my greatest friends in the Second Amendment fight, my local sheriff, John DeAgostini, who I'm very proud to say was the first man who wrote the letter opposing Joe Biden and any infringement on my constitutional rights for the Second Amendment. On my website, there's hundreds and hundreds of endorsements, and it's growing every single day. And I have the experience on how to engage the people and to win campaigns and to teach them how to do the same thing.
Great. And I'm going to give you, Rodney, a couple of minutes of a break here, and then we'll be back shortly. Don't leave us, listeners. We're just going to play a little music and then let Rodney get a drink, and we'll be right back shortly. Stay with us.
Does anyone say anything on the Facebook? Okay.
If you are at the convention and watching this radio show, which I understand might be the plan, this is the time to talk to your presenter and ask any questions about the candidate, Rodney Stanhope. We'll be back with you shortly in about 2 minutes, so if you need to take a break, take a quick break, we'll be right back.
Thank you all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Sykes.
Diane Lenning, your host for the CRP Convention News for this weekend, and we have been interviewing Rodney Stanhope, who is running for vice chair of the Republican Party, and we're going to bring him back on board again in just a minute here. And what I'd like to talk with next, as soon as Rodney joins us again, is about how he would work with Jim Brulte, if he's elected, it seems like he probably will be, and about farm teams. So we hope you are enjoying listening to Rodney firsthand and you get some idea of what kind of a candidate he is and how he would be in the office. Are you back with us yet, Rodney?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So So, you know, Jim Brulte will probably be elected chair unless the world falls off the edge of the cliff here. So he is really, I noticed, in favor of building farm teams. Tell us how you would plan to work with Brulte and then move on to how you would help with building farm teams.
Well, we talked about it earlier, by returning the party to the people and working at a local level, and specifically helping local candidates, local clubs, and local groups. That is exactly what building a farm team is. And by when Brulte was in the state assembly and the state senate, you know, one of the few people I've seen it recently, I could use Dan Logue as an example. You got people that they're only worried about their local district, their local campaign themselves, and you've had, you know, Dan Logue has come up to El Dorado County, not even near his voting district, to do a Tea Party event. Or when Brulte was in office, Brulte had come walk precincts for you for a school board candidate. He's an engaged person that actually understands the farm team. The farm team is a very simple term. The Republicans have bantered it around for years. Every time you have an election, you hear about we should build the farm team. The farm team, pure and simple. Translation, help local candidates. That's it. And help local clubs. And we talked about it earlier. The Republican Party as a state organization should be there to support and help you expand the party, those local candidates win. And by doing that, we're going to grow the party. We're going to increase registration. We're going to take the party back. You know, and interesting, I got a Facebook message here while we were on break. Basically, Karen's asking, what about the disenfranchised voters? We talk about reaching out to ethnic communities. Well, the Republican Party is at less than 30% registration right now. Decline to state will probably, if we keep doing things that we've been doing it, which makes no sense, we'll probably get surpassed by the decline to state party. So
yeah, unfortunately.
You've got, what it is you've got this entire block of voters that are disenfranchised with the Republican Party. And last time, they didn't even bother going to vote at all, because they're so upset. They want their party back. And we talked about making them feel important, working with them. We're there for them. And by doing that, you're rebuilding the party. We've got to give them the faith to believe in us again, and they will come back and help us.
I think that's it. We've got to give mm-hmm. them the faith to believe in us again. And, you know, I was thinking about the farm teams. We're not going to have much money. We're broke. So, and you and Jim can't be everywhere. So would you encourage, for instance, county chairs of the committees to go out to local elections and show up? I've run for many offices, and none of them have ever showed up at any of my events or anywhere to help me. In fact, one of them told me, "You don't need my help, Diane." And you cannot understand how that was like a knife going through my heart. I said, "Yes, I do need your help." And there, I even asked for specific things. It didn't happen. There was nothing forthcoming on my behalf ever in the 15 years I've run for office. And believe me, that really has me disillusioned about the Republican leaders. And I'm only in it because I believe in the values and that we have to be together in some structure to save our country for our kids. And you think I'm passionate? I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people who are mad as heck. And I'm not mad. I mean, they're mad as heck, cussing mad. And they've left the party in droves, and people are sick and tired of this inability to have a relationship with the people and to communicate and interact with us. And, Rodney, I think you've got the bull by the horns and that you will be able to do this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a twofold problem. Number one, asking these voters, why did you leave the party? You know, and the number one thing I get, what does the Republican Party stand for? Who are we? I don't even think we know at this point, because we have lost our way. And I'm actually looking at an interesting picture here right at my desk while you were talking about that. it shows the structure of the Republican Party. And it starts at the top, Republican voters, and then it goes down to committee members, down to central committee, down to executive committee, down to the state party, not the other way around. The Republican voter at the top, you know, and as for central committee and chairman, you have a double problem there, along with sometimes intention the good old boy club that just doesn't want to help anybody. You've also got, I was amazed this last election, driving around the state of California and meeting central committee members and central committee chairs that have never had the state party tell them how they can help build the party or what they should be doing as a central committee member. You know, if you run for central committee, the county Republican central committee, the grassroots of the political party, you basically are there to represent the voters in blocks of your local community. And the duties are very simple. Attend your central committee meetings and get out there, precinct walking, be a grassroots leader, keeping in touch with your local neighborhood, what's happening in your local neighborhood. If you know what's happening in your neighborhood, you're going to be able to find a good candidate for a local office. And you're going to be able to expand and build the party. It's like a little three-star system. You know, have some fun, have some events, have some parties. Don't be so uptight all the time. Just relax, enjoy. We're the party of self-reliance, the party of self-determination, and we're the party founded on faith. Act like it.
Well, you know, there's a lot to opposition research, and I have visited the opposition. I have been to Democrat central committees. And I advise every Republican leader and activist to go visit one because they have it together like we don't. And we can learn by that. I'm serious. Now, I was an educator my whole life. And to be quite frank, the Democrats trained me because that's who controlled our union. And I tried to participate to keep my fingers in the dike from them electing like Obama and all that. And as soon as I retire, they elect Obama because I was real involved nationally in the NEA, and I kid you not, there were about 35 of us who retired, and it just blossomed out, and they had Sal Alinsky on their website. We never would have put up with that. We would have been hammering them and telling them to take that off. And I am telling you, they know how to do this. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to do it just like they do. But I think we can learn by them in that they know how to connect with people. There's a point about connecting with people. And I don't see that very much around the state. And I'm going to be point blank. I'm going to bring up something I haven't heard anybody say. But I see, please love me after this, people. I see a real, what would you call it, a divide or a chasm, whether it's intentional or not, I don't know, between the different groupings in the Republican Party, such as men and women.
We've been taught within our party that we listen to the people above us. They tell us that the Democrats have written our game plan and handed it to us, and we are there to defend it at this point. And somehow that has become part of our mindset. Negative campaigning, beat each other up, separation between men and women, separation between the races, separation between ethnicities, separation between religious groups, the conservatives versus the moderates. I got news for you. We are all Republicans, and at this point, we have all got to come together. Because if you simply stand up on values and principles, that is the one fight I take sides on the Republican Party, is the groups out there that think we should get rid of our values and our principles and become Democrat-like because that'll save the party, and I think that's absolutely ridiculous. We have a platform based on faith and a platform based on principles. Stand up for them and quit caving in. You want to make the Tea Party happy? You want to bring millions of people back to the Republican Party? Stop caving in. Stop being afraid to offend somebody. And stop trying to play the Democrat game of racial divide. We are all Republicans. Act like it. bring everyone together, treat everyone the same, and if you do that, then you don't have to worry about opposition research. You don't have to worry about going negative. You run a campaign based on your ability, and you run a campaign based on your action. That's why my campaign, I've got 18 years experience as a grassroots leader in politics, working on hundreds of campaigns. That's my campaign. That's why I want to be the vice chairman of the state party. I don't have any other answer, and I don't need to go negative. So,
well, this is just my opinion, so, but I don't know what you feel about it, but it sounds like you might agree. I really don't agree with a lot of what I've seen in this divide and conquer mentality. I think we should be unite and win mentality. I'd much rather see unite and win. The divide and conquer, I believe, has been the main source of why we lose. And when you divide and conquer, then you've always got unhappy people who've been in some cases mistreated or stepped on or treated inappropriately, and we should not be treating other people that way. I don't care whether they're Democrats or Republicans. We've got to have a sense of civility about us. Well, that said, you can comment if you want, but are you willing to take a caller?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can take a caller. And as for divide and conquer and civility, I think Rico Aller is a good friend of mine, put it perfectly. I can disagree with you. I don't have to disrespect you.
Thank you. I agree with that. Great one. Okay, I've already checked with one caller, and she was just listening. So we're going to ask the person at 567 if you would like to talk. Hello, caller. Do you have a question for Rodney? Hello, caller? Or comment? Well, apparently they're... Maybe I'll ask the other person then.
I can answer that one.
I'll ask the other person again. Maybe by now... have you stirred up in your mind a question by now or a comment? Hello, 619.
Hi.
Hi.
Actually, the biggest question I have is, it has to do, you spoke earlier about local offices, you know, local campaigns, things like that. My concern is some of the bigger campaigns, and they may not necessarily be in 2014, but they are, you know, it's something I think we need to plan for now, like the Senate race coming up, the next governor's race. I almost feel as though if we don't get started on those, we will lose them again. And we really cannot lose those. So I don't know how that fits into the local campaign part of it. That's kind of my question.
Well, what it is, you know, we need to focus on those races, but we don't have a ground team and an army right now to win those races, and we don't have the money to buy those races. We need to focus locally to build that army and build that organization, that structure, and then we can win those races. And, yes, you always focus. I want to fill Republicans in every single slot on the ballot. When I say start locally, it's because that gets the grassroots and that gets the local groups involved, and that builds the army that we need to win campaigns. Focusing on Senate races, Assembly races, U.S. Senate races, U.S. Congress races. Here's a question for you. Think of, say, Elizabeth Emkin for U.S. Senate, or Chuck DeVore before for U.S. Senate, or somebody that's running for State Assembly or State Senate, okay, in your own neighborhood right now, down there in Southern California. And did anyone come to you and say, for instance, here, as if I was vice chair, would you walk precincts with me if I drove down from Northern California to come join you on a race for a candidate that you like?
Okay,
I would.
You would? Well, that's what I'm going to do. As the vice chair of the state party, I will be there to help you because you're the most important person in the Republican Party, and you want to help a candidate win, whether it's all the way down the ticket or all the way up the ticket.
Well, the problem that I have is that the candidate I wanted to win wasn't the endorsed candidate. That was a problem.
Well,
how do we deal with that, Rodney?
Yeah.
Well,
how do we deal with bad endorsements?
Well, part of it is this. You have to realize, and this is the one part where I want to, you know, smack the Tea Party on the hand. You've got this massive organization that got fed up with the Republican Party, and they have left the party as disenfranchised voters. Unfortunately, it's a proven fact. You cannot fix it from the outside looking in. If you want to fix bad endorsements, then this, I'm going to name a whole bunch of it. You want to fix bad endorsements? You want to get good candidates elected? You want to fight Agenda 21? You want to fight against the establishment or the power candidate or the big money grabs? I got news for you. You, the people, control your central committee, and then you will be making the decision who the next endorsed candidate is.
Oh, I'm sorry. In San Diego, that is simply not true. We, even the central committee members, do not, absolutely not control the committee. It is completely top down. Tony Gavark has his whole thing locked under his thumb. I'm sorry. He makes all of the decisions, period.
Like I said, would it help if I was down there to help you? Because I believe in you, not them.
Well,
leadership,
he would probably call
Tim
Broty and ask him to tell you not to do it. There's a lot of double dealing going on down here,
There's a lot of it all over the state. But
right.
Trust me, I've managed to piss a whole lot of people off in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party for one simple reason. You can tell me no, but if I believe it's right, I'm going to do it. And so that's just too darn bad. I'm sorry. If I want to
Well, we as individuals
you,
have a right to walk precincts.
Yeah, and if I want to come join you, and I think you have a good candidate, I'm going to come join you, and I'm going to help you. And if someone goes, I shouldn't, too bad. Trust me, it's not the first time I've upset somebody. I do what's right, not what's popular.
Well, I think what the caller is intimating here, at least I feel it, is that we are kind of arm-wrenched in a lot of activities, and I have felt it in a couple of the central committees I've been involved. In fact, there was one gentleman in the northern part of the state who paid money this time to the party at the county level to buy slates for only the left-leaning Republicans to be elected to the Central Committee. Therefore, I did not get elected when I had name recognition and have spent over $150,000 of my money, have been a good, loyal Republican for over 40-some years, and I've run for office for 15 years, and I've spent my wad, and they could care less.
Exactly. That's precisely the kind of thing that happens here. They decide who's going to run, who's going to get the endorsements, who will be on the slate mailers. You almost have no say-so.
And I
that goes back to right now our organization is a top-down organization.
If we
ever stand a chance of taking back California and winning, we've got to become a ground-up organization.
The problem is with this four-year central committee election thing going on now. Do you guys know about that, right?
Yeah. So
tell
now,
us.
Starting today, you have 3.5 years to help me change it.
I was hoping to force the Secretary of State to make elections happen in 2014, whether she liked it or not, because
you can't
retroactively.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't change it now. It was the whole 2 year, 4 year on the ballot, off the ballot, actually came from a Democrat internal lawsuit against each other within their own party that caused the Secretary of State to have to say, I can't dictate to you how you run your independent organization that you've been elected to. The bottom line is people have to run for central committee. They've got to get on central committee. I know in your county it's a little bit different, but the majority of California, the number of central committees that currently do not even have all of their slots filled with people on the ballot or that even ran or that are even volunteering to be on central committee. And it has to be done, and it can be done slowly. You've got 3.5 years to start recruiting people that will do it the right way, and I have no problem helping you and teaching you guys and educating you on how to do it. And come 4 years from now, in 2016, you guys get control of your central committee, and that returns it to the people, bottom up, not top down.
As long
well,
as
you
we
know what
can
else?
Change the leadership.
Well, that's how you're going to change it. In
that's exactly
steps,
what I'm
know?
Asking. If things go
yeah.
the way they always have been, and people get in there, we will not change the leadership, and it will continue the same way it has been.
It's not
yeah.
that you don't want to. It's that
well,
you can't. They prevent you from changing it.
That's what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, they
yeah.
run slate. They run slate with big money. We have you
right.
have 3.5 years. You have 3.5 years to find a group of people who are willing to run for central committee, dedicate themselves to getting out there and talking to the local people. Because the bottom line is, you can raise money. You can talk to voters. You can engage those voters. The same thing we're talking about how to rebuild the party. And when they go to the ballot box in 2016 and they go look at who they're going to vote for central committee, they're going to vote for the person that they know. And most of the time, they have no clue who's on the ballot for central committee because we've never been taught to engage the voters on a personal level. That's what you have to do. And
excuse
so when they
me,
go
but
in the ballot
here,
box,
it almost matters if you've been elected. What matters if you're a friend of the chairman? Because you will be booted off the central committee. They will find a reason to boot you off if you don't go along.
Yeah, well, that only works as long as they hold the majority because it requires 50% plus one or a two-third vote to kick you off central committee or to cause trouble for you. If you've got the 50% plus one, you're in control.
It's the executive committee that kind
yeah.
of brings a complaint or something to the regular committee, and nobody's going to go against them because they're going to lose their own seats if they do. It's
yeah,
one of those corrupt.
In 3.5 years, if you have done an effective job of working in your local community, reaching out to your local voters, when they go in that ballot box, they're going to cast a vote for you. I'm not just talking about you, one single person. I'm talking about a whole group of you. When you control 50% plus one on that central committee, the executive board belongs to you also. Because the first thing you do after the election is you elect your new chairman. So,
perhaps that's when you would have your supporters come in and speak at the central committee.
Well,
exactly.
We tried this past time, and it didn't work because everybody was so intimidated that
yeah.
they just went along.
Yes. And it's not worked a lot of times. And what we're going to have to do is make it work. We're going to have to do
you know,
it together.
Rodney, I liked your idea of putting the Republican voter on top of the organizational chart.
Yeah.
It might be
yeah.
good to make a new organizational chart, redesign it, and put the Republican voter at the top.
I'll put it up on Facebook tonight. I'll put it on the website. You guys can all have it.
All right,
sure
because it's not working
the
other way.
Yeah, the future of the Republican Party, just imagine, too, it's a double-edged sword. If you engage those voters at a local level, they're A, going to vote for you for central committee. If you get enough people to run for central committee, the people take control of it, and the good old boys no longer control it. At the same time, you've been engaging that voter. They now believe in you. You come to them and say, I have a candidate for school board. I have a candidate for state assembly. I have a candidate for governor. They're going to go, really? I like you. I trust you. Tell me who you have. I want to help. And now we start winning elections throughout California.
Rodney, I don't know if it's the same up north, but down south we have pretty broad distances of people that you cover in your area. Like in my area, it went across 5 or 6 huge cities. And to walk in some of those cities and to find somebody else who's going to vote with me to run in those sections, it's kind of difficult. So there's an issue we're going to have to deal with, how to network.
Great solution for you. Got a question for you. Just think of, hypothetically, the two of you in your own neighborhood. How many houses could you walk in 4 hours and get a person to answer the door and talk to you? Just give me a number.
Well, when I walked in Southgate, not one person, I walked all day, not one person would answer the door. And all their doors were like barred. But in some towns, you might get 1 out of 10 who'll answer the door.
So let's say somewhere between 0 and 50 people, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I've done a lot of just walking.
How many would you get if you set a table up in front of your local grocery store and started the conversation off with, are you registered to vote?
That would be better.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
That works.
It's the stuff that we have forgot about, the little stuff the Republican Party has given up on or forgot about because they were never told it's effective. Voter registration is one of the most effective tools in the world for building a party from the ground up, because I'm starting the conversation off with, are you registered to vote? And then from there, I can start talking to you like you're just a person. We're just having a conversation. And once that conversation has begun, I can then maybe talk to you about a local candidate or a state candidate or my vision for fixing, Diane, the education system in California, or my views on family values, or my views on the economy.
Invite them to a local meeting to come join you,
exactly.
Be your guest.
Yeah, and what we do at this point is we walk up and they go, hey, you're not like me, I don't like it, and let's fight. And then you wonder why we can't build the party.
Well, we really appreciate you being with us tonight, Rodney. We only have about 5 minutes left, and I said I'd give you some opportunity to say what you'd like in the last 5 minutes. So if you are ready to do that, we're willing to listen.
I just think that this election, our party has hit pretty much rock bottom. This is politics as usual. People attacking other people, it's gotten vicious and nasty, and the bottom line is I want to return the party to we the people. I want to reengage those people that left our party because they don't believe in us. I believe in them, and we need to be there for them, reengage them, get them back into the party, but we're going to have to prove to them that we are a party of the people for the people. And with that, I want to be your vice chairman for the state party. I want to be out there coming into your communities, helping you expand your local clubs, working to recruit good candidates for local offices. And you can visit my website, rodneycandles.com. I am not just looking for delegate votes only. The convention is this weekend. The vote is on Sunday. If you're not a delegate, I still want to hear from you. If you are a disenfranchised voter, I want to hear from you. If you have an idea on how we fix the party, I want to hear from you. Because as your vice chairman, I am here to help you. I am here to listen to you because you are the most important person in the Republican Party. And once we get that through some other people's head, we can start building this party and winning campaigns. We can take back California. We used to win in California. If you look at the state, the majority of it is red. But we forgot how to connect to the voters. We forgot how to message our platform, how to message our vision, and how to message our party. We have to get back. I guess, you know, it's salesmanship 101, Amway. Amway did this great. I'm not asking you for $1,000 and find me 1,000 of your friends, Diane. I need you to find 3 people. And if those 3 people find 3 people, and those people find 3 people, imagine how big you know, it's Amway 101. Come on. This is not rocket science. They don't want you to do this because then the powers that be no longer have control because we the people run the state. And what happens in California, so goes the nation. We do it here. It's going to do it across America. Because right now we have a 2/3 supermajority in the state assembly, the state senate, and we have 4 more years without a real leader in America. That can change. It's not going to change overnight. It's not going to change in one election. But I'm asking for you to help me take this party back and give me a shot to represent you and lead this fight for you.
Thank you so much, Rodney, for being with us tonight. If you'd like to call Rodney, his cell phone number is 530-748-7142, and his website is rodneystanhope.com, and you can email him at rodney.stanhope@gmail.com. I hope I got that right.
No dot. Just Rodney Stanhope.
Rodney Stanhope at gmail.com. There we go. Okay.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck to you all, and thank you to our caller for participating with us tonight. We hope this helps you get the word out, because we think it's good that all the delegates get an opportunity to find out about each candidate. So God bless, be with you, and take care. Good night.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. You're awesome. Call me later.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This would be a good time for you, if you're at the convention, to talk with your presenter there, if they're standing by a computer or around with business cards, and ask about Rodney Stanhope and how you can participate and help on the campaign and to grow our party again, to be a people's party. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless and take care. I'll play the music for a minute or two just for you and your enjoyment. It's my favorite, Beethoven. God bless. Good night. This is Diane Linning, your host, closing tonight with CRP Convention News. Of this broadcast, the presenter may wish to start over again so that the audience standing around can listen to Rodney Stanhope again. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Diane Linning, your host, at blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Linning. Good night, and God bless. Bye-bye.